Genesis chapter 41 will be on verse 46, and we're going to go on down to verse 57 this morning. Finish up the chapter. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now verse 47, and in the seven plenteous years of the earth brought forth by handfuls, I think he turned it on. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Now what we've been doing in these studies in Genesis, when we've been going through here and studying the life of Joseph, is that we have been picking out in Joseph's life those things that are a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might remark, you know, Judah is a great character in Jacob's family. And some of these other fellows did some remarkable things. But Joseph is singled out in Genesis for all of this information that you... I mean, who really cares that there was a 7-year famine in Egypt, really? And who really cares that there were 7 bumper crops in Egypt? There have been all those kind of things in various parts of the world, except that they concern the life of Joseph, and in the life of Joseph we see so many things about Jesus Christ that are pictured here. And so we like to study those because that tells us a whole lot more about our Savior, and we love our Savior, and we love to hear people brag on Him, particularly God. So back here in verse 46, there's 3 things right there that are like Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Well, how old was Jesus Christ when he went into the ministry? 30 years old. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Luke chapter 3, verse 23, when Jesus Christ was baptized and got into the ministry, look what the Bible says about him. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. Verse 22, for the context, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. You know something? In this passage, we're looking at Joseph, and he's going to be handing out bread. Well, you'll remember from your Bible that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And so this is going to be significant about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, when Jesus Christ came, he came as the King of the Jews. They didn't accept him in that capacity, but don't you worry, in due time, he will take that throne. And so a lot about what Jesus Christ did was about his future reign, and a lot of what he did was about feeding those people the bread they desperately needed. That is the salvation, I am the bread of life. So Joseph pictures him here. Who is the famous king in the line of Judah that is such a profound type of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those are good, but David, a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. How old was David when he took the throne? 30 years old. Yeah, you don't hesitate. 30? Yeah. You can be sure of that. He was 30 years old, in case you want to know. That's 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. Now notice the second thing that we find in verse 46 about him. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. He went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Where was Jesus Christ before he came to the earth? He was in heaven with God the Father. And he had to leave his Father in order to be able to come to the earth and conduct his ministry. He went out from the presence of God. Now, did everybody believe that when Jesus Christ said, I came down from God, I came down here? Oh, man, they looked at him and said, who in the world do you think you are? You are some sort of space cadet, man. You are blasphemous. You are a liar. We're going to kill you. And you know what? In fact, he did come out from the presence of the Father, just like Joseph had to come out from the presence of Pharaoh. Couple of the verses there are John chapter 3, verse 13, and John chapter 6, verse 38. He had to come down here in order to work, and he had to come down here in order to fulfill the prophecies that were said about him. All right, now notice something else that he did in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. Not only did he go out from the presence of Pharaoh, but he went throughout all the land of Egypt. Well, again, because we've studied this a number of times, Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. And so Jesus had to leave his Father and come into the world. Go to John chapter 3 and look at verse 17. John chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Now when Joseph is going to feed this bread out of the storehouses in Egypt, he's going to dole that bread out not only to Egypt, but to all the other countries that are in that area suffering from the famine. John chapter 3, verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, hang on just a second. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, one time in Matthew chapter 15, there was a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, a Greek, that came up to him and pled with him about casting a devil out of her daughter, said she's grievously vexed with a devil. And Jesus didn't answer the woman. And then the disciples said they wanted to thrust her away from him. And so she said again, please, because my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And then he answered her. And what did he say? I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told that Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. And legitimately, Jesus Christ could have come for the Jews. He was a Jew, and he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he commissioned his disciples to go out in Matthew chapter 18, he said, don't go anywhere else. You go just to the Jews. Don't go to the Gentiles, and don't go up to Samaria. Don't do that work there. But you know what? After Jesus Christ died on that cross, he told those disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all, under the uttermost part of the world. He took that thing and spread it out. Well, they were reluctant to leave by Acts chapter 8, so God allowed a bad fellow named Paul, who eventually became a great fellow named Paul, to come in there and stir up the nest a little bit. And when he started wrecking havoc, they split. He said, you guys are too comfortable here. You're going to have to get you out of here and get you going. Well, thank God he did. So Jesus Christ went throughout all the land of the world. I mean, you look at that missionary board. We've got people in every corner of this world that are out there trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Joseph went over all the land of Egypt, Egypt being a type of the world, and Jesus Christ, and that message of his salvation went over all the parts of the world. And so they're just like each other in that respect. But that's not all. That's not all. Look in verse 50. Unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. There's some things there. Which Asenath, how many wives did he have? He had one. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. But you know, back in the Old Testament, polygamy was practiced. There was a lot of that was going on. And you have Jacob, and he had four wives. And you have Abraham, and he had... Okay, let me teach the lesson, okay? All right, thank you. And some of them had 1,000 wives. Poor guy. You know, that's where the Hallmark card company started. All those anniversary cards and things. Anyway, so Asenath was his only one. How many brides does Jesus Christ have?
One bride.
In the Song of Solomon, we find this interesting passage of Scripture. The Song of Solomon is an interesting passage because while it's written about Solomon and his wife, it pictures Jesus Christ and his bride. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and in verse 9, notice this. My dove, my undefiled, that's the way the Lord's going to present us before himself at the marriage. My undefiled is but what? One. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Christ has one bride, and Asenath is one. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One bride. Another thing that we see here, and this, you know, you can take these types and you can stretch them as tight as a rubber band. Sometimes you can stretch them too far. But I did happen to notice something when I was going through this that is kind of interesting. How many children did he have after the famine started? None. How many did he have before the famine? He had two. In other words, during the famine, for him, there were no children born. How long was the famine? It was 7 years. Okay, now, we've been studying a lot about the second advent and the tribulation and all that, right? So I don't want to stretch this thing out too far, but it is interesting that they didn't produce children during the famine. Likewise, during the tribulation, there are not people that are being born as sons of God, because the people that are born as sons of God that are born again now and before that rapture, before that tribulation, and there's a rapture, see, then the children go to be with the Lord, and then those that are being saved here, they're saved, but they're not being baptized by the Holy Spirit and put into the body of Christ, and they're not being born as children of God. That's something we'll study out a little more when we actually go through our Bible study tonight on looking some more at the differences between the church age and the tribulation. And the reason we're studying those differences, by the way, for those of you who are interested in, because there's so much confusion about whether or not the church goes through the tribulation. And one way you can see that it doesn't is you don't see, you see saved people, lots of millions of saved people in the tribulation, but you don't see them being regenerated and born again in the same way that you are and put into the body of Christ and then raptured out of here. And so that's, like I said, that's kind of stretching this type out there pretty tight, but it is sort of interesting that it's there. So I thought I'd point it out to you. Okay. And what else do we have here? Well, we've got Manasseh in verse 51. Manasseh. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Let's do something. Let's go into Luke real quick and compare something about Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, where was he born? Bethlehem. Where did he grow up? Nazareth. Where did his family move? Capernaum. And he always had a place with mom and his foster father and with his brothers and all that. But when he got into the ministry, Luke chapter 9, verse 58, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Had to leave home. Had to leave home and go in to do these things. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 5. You know, just like Joseph had to leave home, see? Joseph didn't have his own home. He just got out of jail. John chapter 7, look at verse 5. Jesus' brethren in verse 3 are trying to convince him to go to Judea. And in verse 5 in John chapter 7, neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe him. How did Joseph's brethren treat him? They didn't believe him either. He said, I had some dreams. You guys are going to bow down. And they said, we're going to kill you, and then we'll see what comes of your dreams. And their efforts, of course, failed because God said a certain thing was going to happen. And when God says a certain thing is going to happen, I don't care who tries to stop it. It's going to happen, amen. It's going to happen. So neither did his brethren believe him. So it's just like Jesus Christ. And not only that, look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, you know, I've had a little trouble. I've had a little family trouble. My brothers don't believe me, and I don't have any place to lay my head. He says, I just want to warn you guys, now that you fellows are getting in the ministry with me, things aren't going to be a bed of roses. He said here in verse Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, a man's foes, Matthew 10, 36, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Wow. You know something? If you've got a brother or a sister or children that are saved and y'all are getting along after you stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got a tremendous amount to be thankful for. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I enjoyed at that reunion yesterday. Here's three brothers and a sister, and we're all singing hymns and praising the Lord there at the house and all that kind of thing. And I mean, here, they probably fussed and fight a little bit, you know. I'm sure they did when they were kids. But they're sitting next to each other in church this morning. And I'll tell you, the great thing about that is, eventually, James, Jesus' brother, got saved and was doing a lot in the church. Even Paul got to visit with him after a period of time. But there's some similarity. He named that child Manasseh. He says, I'm forgetting my father's house, I'm forgetting my toil. And Jesus Christ said, I've got to go on. I can't stick around here for my brothers to believe in me. I can't stick around here and keep letting my mama dote over me. I have got a job to do. She came in there one time and said, change that water into wine. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? One time they left him in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. She said, what are you doing here? He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? And there comes a time, if your family drags back, you've got to get on with what God's called you to do. And Joseph said, I'm going to call him Manasseh because I had to leave those things behind. Of course, they forced me to, but I'm doing it anyway. Then the next child was named Ephraim. Ephraim, in verse 52, and the name of the second, he called him Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Well, you know something? That's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was fruitful in the land of his affliction. You know something? They eventually killed Jesus Christ. I mean, what greater affliction could... He said, the world hates you, they hated me first. He told his brothers, because they were still getting along with the world, said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. And so he lived his life in the ministry in affliction. Do you think that was by God's design? Absolutely. And just in the same way that it was by God's design that Joseph went through the affliction he did in preparation for what he just got to do here. Look in John chapter 12, how the Lord Jesus Christ made this very, very clear. John chapter 12 and verse 24. John chapter 12 and verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was necessary to bring forth fruitfulness, and the imprisonment of Joseph was necessary in order to bring forth this opportunity for him to rule. And so he says, I'm going to call this boy Ephraim because God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, just a little side note. We've said this on several occasions, but therefore, when you go through affliction, you can either go through and get angry and bitter about, why is God letting this happen to me? Or you can say, bless God, I guess we're fixing to bear a little fruit. You don't seem to be too excited about that. Well, just remember that we studied it, okay? All right, now look at number 55 here, verse number 55 in Genesis chapter 41, when all the land of Egypt was famished. That's the world's condition, you know that? Truth has fallen in the street. When all the land of Egypt was famished, famine in the land for the words of God. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Well, in this little passage here, Pharaoh's a type of God the Father. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Well, God sent his son down here, and they all said, well, we need to get to heaven. And he says, go to Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Look in John chapter 6, verse 34. These Egyptians and all these other people in the world would not have survived that famine if they had not been able to go to Joseph and get that bread. They'd have starved to death. So in John chapter 6, verse 34, 33 for the context, John 6, 33, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Look at it, it's a person. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And they had to go to Joseph to get that bread. They had to go to Jesus Christ. We had to go to Jesus Christ to get the bread of life so that we could live. And now we're going to have eternal life, thank God, as a result of that. Not only that, but back here in Genesis 41:55, Pharaoh said, not only say go to Joseph, but look what he said. What he saith to you, do. You ever heard those words before? Where'd you hear those words? The wedding of Cana. Mary told those servants when they went, you know, got ready to do it, he said, whatever he saith to thee, do. Now, I tell you what, that, as they say, ties the rag on the bush. There's just so many things that link them together. But you know something? What he saith to thee, do. Amen? And if we'll do that, then we'll be fine. Then finally, look at this in verse 57. All countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And Jesus Christ told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And now, what do we see here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 types of Jesus Christ in those few verses there in the life of Joseph. That's remarkable. That's remarkable, and so it gives us more indication why God would put so much of that stuff of Joseph right in here, because I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he said, you know what, if I got thrown in prison and they told me, you can't have your whole Bible, we're not going to let you have that, we're only going to let you have one book. He said, what book would I want? And he said, the book that I'd take is the book of Genesis, because in there I can find everything. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. So it makes for a very interesting study. Well, there you go in the life of Joseph.